I'm going to go to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Again, been in Romans a lot lately. Seems appropriate while there seems to be a lot of Roman going on. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody watching us in video land and on Pow Talk and wherever you may be. We're thankful for the audience and the people who are part of this church who are not here in attendance. And we're finding more and more faithfulness on the internet. We thank God for that. Amen. We thank God for that. There's a verse here that I'd like to read that I read a few nights ago. Verse 13, chapter 6 in Romans. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You may be seated. Amen. You ever seen a sign on the road when you were driving that said, yield right of way? Sometimes those signs can be important. Yielding can be really important in natural things that we do and also in the kingdom of God. And God is looking for yielded vessels that He can work with. Something that He can work with. And I'm not, you know, it's easy for us to get hung up on just trying to get right with God. But there needs to come a point in our lives, if it hasn't already, where we did get right with God. Because if you have to spend, if God has to spend all His time or all His energies or whatever it is that God uses to work things out for us, if God has to spend all of our prayer life and all of the things that we do in helping us just to recover ourselves so we can be saved, there's something lacking. God didn't call us to be Christians and to be saved beings that would be His creatures to call the family of God. He didn't call us into this just to keep saving us. Hallelujah. And there's some people that I know, many that I have known through the years, who struggle just to be saved and stay saved. And they're not really tools that can really be used yet as far as the cause of God is concerned, because God is looking for vessels that are yielded that will stay consistent, as the word has already been mentioned today, a consistent vessel yielded to God. And if you yield a yielded life, or if you live a yielded life to God, then you don't have to keep coming back to God. Because you won't leave God. And you know, I don't know how, see, I'm not the Lord. But I do think as a man, and God has put thoughts in our lives as human beings that are on the order of something that God has that's in a much bigger realm. If we can think thoughts and rationalize things, how much more does God think and rationalize? And such a larger scale than what we can comprehend. And if I can stand here today as a man of God, listening to God and praying to God, and being concerned on behalf of what God has made me to be concerned about in my calling, and if I can see the need to address the situation of people needing to get past coming back to God and going on and becoming yielded vessels God can use, if I can see this, how much more God must be seeing this? Because He only gives us a little bit of what He has a whole lot of. My thoughts are not His thoughts. What that means is, whatever I think, He's thinking it in a much greater way, much higher order than what I know. If I can see the need as a man of God, as an instrument that God is using to try to point the way to some people, no matter how few or how many, if I can see these things, how much more God can see? And we should be mindful of that, because everything we do in life is being watched by an all-seeing eye. Every word we speak is being heard by ears that never grow dull and never become hard of hearing. God hears and sees every act of obedience or disobedience. And He sees and hears every thought of righteousness or unrighteousness. And every action is observed by the one that we are trying to serve. Amen. If I have tools in my toolbox, and every time I need to use them, they're broken. Every time I need to fix something, I reach for my tool and it's broken. Sooner or later, I'm going to throw that tool away. And if I can think like that, don't take God lightly. If every time God reaches for you and He needs to use you for His cause, if you're broken in a way that I mean you're not usable, and He has to keep fixing you every time He reaches for you to use. See, God's way is always, always a way of saving people so they will reach out and touch other people who need to be saved. The whole concept that we study in the Bible about the church and God's dealings with the church. God saves the lost and sets them free from sin and says, now go and tell others about it. And be an example and teach and preach and show others how they can get in on this too. And we are the tools for the Master to use. And as I said, if every time God wants to use us, if we're not usable, sooner or later, if we as mortals get tired of tools that won't work, sooner or later, God, in a much higher order, is going to turn away from those tools and find some that will. I have gone in my life a few times and took my old tools that were just not doing the job and got rid of them and went and got me some new ones. Amen. I'm not trying to be negative today. God is not negative. But there is a negative side of life, and that is we're not going to serve God. We can expect to be in a bad situation and to be destined for an eternal separation from God. As Brother Justin said this morning, we only get two chances and not a third one. Some of you may not have comprehended that, but Brother Justin thinks pretty deep, and I was right in line with him. I knew what he was saying. He knew what he was saying. Many of you may have missed it. You might have thought, well, God gives us a lot of chances. No, He gives you two chances, and that's it. One is, before you're serving Him, you get a chance to learn about Him and serve Him. The second one is, while you're serving Him, you have a chance to keep serving Him. The third one is, if you didn't, you don't get another choice. In other words, that's what he was saying this morning. We either get a chance to make a decision to serve him. Number one, now that we're serving him, we make up our mind to either serve him or not serve him. Number two. And the third thing is, you're either in heaven or you're in hell. Now, there's another way of looking at it that is true. He will not stop forgiving us if we will keep coming to Him. But why live like that? I mean, we talk about it because we need to hear it, because we're always failing. It's easy to need to hear God will forgive and God will forget. We need to hear that sometimes. God will not always hold a grudge against you because of the way it's been. We need to hear that often. I need to hear it. You need to hear it. But we also need to get past needing to hear that. Hallelujah. You don't stay a baby all the time. There comes, some people do, but there are others who finally grow a little bit. Spiritual maturity is actually leveling off and serving God. That's all it's all about. It's getting past being a little baby that can't walk and can't operate and can't function. Always has to have help. Always, there are babies that have to be helped all the time. There are babies that cannot change their own diapers. They don't know how to do a lot of things because they're so dependent on mom and dad. And there is a time in our Christian experience when we are very dependent in everything. We don't know much. We haven't comprehended much. We don't know how to talk the talk. We don't know how to walk the walk. And God understands that because we're babies just getting started. But as time goes on, God should be able to reach for us and find us as somebody that He has called and given something to, and finding us faithful, finding us stronger,
hallelujah,
finding us able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and not just find us saying, God, please forgive me again, I've failed you. Thank you, Lord. It's time to get past the failures. I don't want to just always be found praying, God, forgive me, I'm such a failure. I want God to be able to find me praying and praising Him for the success and for the joy and for the knowledge that I've received from day to day as I continue to look to Him and depend on Him for strength. But when He gives me strength, it's not just for me to look at. I need to use it. Hallelujah. We need to use it. Don't stop praying if you fail God for God to restore you. That's a must. We must pray a prayer to be restored. And don't stop asking God to help you and fix things and put it back together if you need that. Because if you have failed God or if you've fallen short, those prayers are absolutely a must and a necessity. So don't take it that I'm saying don't pray if you've got a need for something to be fixed and put back in order in your life. Do that. But what I'm saying, how about getting out of the circle of having to do that over and over? How about moving on? There is a moving on experience in God that's available to us all. Getting past the rut. Getting past the walking in the wilderness for 40 years. Going ahead and realizing there is a promised land ahead. And it's time to start walking straight forward and quit going in circles. There is a work of God at hand. And it's time to apply ourselves, to put our hand to the plow and to plow a straight line. Not looking to the right or to the left. And know this is God's church in the world today. And there is a purpose for us to be here. And God wants to use us. God wants to use us. Hallelujah. It's easy to find people who are claiming to be Christians who veer off the path. I mean, they're everywhere. No matter where they are in their experience with God. Even if they don't know the whole truth, yet God has called many who are not knowledgeable yet of the full truth. Yet they have been called of God, and what they have received has come from God. And they don't need to be criticized. They don't need to be made enemies out of. They just need to be encouraged, and they need to be found by people who have become equipped in learning patience, in learning long-suffering, in learning and dealing with people that God cares about them too, even if they're not apostolics. But we can't get to that point if we can't get ourselves secure in the work of God. If I can't find myself living for God at least for a few days consistently, and if I feel like I'm a failure, how much more? As God saw every move and heard every word and watched everything that happened that caused me to feel that way, how much more does He know that you or I, when we're in that condition, are not something that He can really trust? We're not vessels that He can really use. We don't have the strength. Because the work of God takes strength. It takes something strong to do this work. Stronger than anything that we can possess without God's help. It takes things that only God can equip us with to save souls. Hallelujah. I heard a brother say a few days ago, a friend talking about he visited a church where he had been asked to speak, and before the service, he had never had been in this place before, and before the service, he was just walking around in the prayer room, and there was one other person in that prayer room, and it was a Hispanic fellow, a young Hispanic man, kneeling down, and this brother was just walking around praying and speaking in tongues. And the other brother was quietly kneeling at a chair. After a while, the Hispanic brother got up and went and talked to the pastor. And this visiting evangelist said, I observed he was talking and they were looking my direction. So he went up to ask what was going on. And the pastor said, well, brother, he said, this brother came up from, I think it was somewhere in South America. This is his first time in an apostolic church. And he was kneeling in the prayer room. And he came to church with a big need in his life, and he needed some answers that he couldn't find anywhere. And he was just looking for an answer. And he was kneeling down. And said, while you were walking around in that prayer room, this young man has told me that he understood every word you were speaking, and he got his answer. Hallelujah. Now I tell you, and I heard that brother say, you know what? He said, I wish I could do that. He said, I wish I could figure out how to do that. But he said, that's not something I know how to do. I was just yielding myself to God, and God was using me. See, and we can't get to that point if we're not able to get past, God, help me to get back to serving you again. I'm not feeling like anybody here is not past that point. I'm not necessarily saying that, but I know we all need to hear this sometimes. We all need to be reminded sometimes that God wants to use us and not just forgive us over and over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, He has provided forgiveness and mercy. He's provided that. It's available to us 24 hours a day. Every time you need it, call on the Lord and be saved. He knows. He knows your need before you ask. He knows everything that's going on before the result of it causes you the pain. He knows what you're going through. Go ahead and call on Him. Get yourself right with God. But now let's stand and be soldiers in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. There are orders coming our way from the captain of our salvation. There's a world that's lost out here that needs somebody. Somebody to be an example that you can be saved and you can stay saved. Hallelujah. You can get right with God and you can walk with God. Thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands to Him this morning. Hallelujah. And some of you may have observed there have been places in my life where I have actually had problems with people who were church members who felt like I didn't pray enough or I didn't read my Bible enough to suit them because they didn't see me praying and they didn't hear me speaking in tongues and they didn't observe me preparing my messages for the services. And there was something about that in their eyes that made me seem not like what they thought a preacher should be. But you know what? I'm not serving any man or woman or boy or girl. My prayer life is something that is between God and me. And when I pray, it's none of your business. I never pray for show, and I'm not praying or not showing that I'm praying for any reason whatsoever that you should be concerned about. If you don't see me kneel down, you can criticize if you want to that I'm not a good example. But don't let that stop you from kneeling down. Jesus prayed a lot of prayers His disciples didn't hear because they were asleep. And they could have easily looked at Him and said, why don't you ever pray? We pray a lot of times. Yeah, when you're awake, you're always praying God will forgive you for failing Him over and over. God prayed. Jesus prayed. I want to tell you something else. Many of those that seem to shout the loudest and pray the most as far as being able to observe them pray are no longer serving God today, and I'm still serving Him. And I haven't stopped praying, and I don't pray less than I've ever prayed in my life. I'm praying just like I've always prayed to the same God I've always prayed to. He saved me one day. And one day He got me past the rut I was in and took me out of the circle I was walking in. And He said, now walk with me and trust in me. And every moment of my life, no matter where I am, whether you see it or don't see it, I'm in communication with my Master. Hallelujah! I was talking to somebody some time ago. He was concerned that something had been transplanted upon him. And there was somebody watching all the time and hearing everything that was being said. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about that person's case, but I know one thing. In my life, there is something that has been implanted in me. Glory to God. And it works. And I'm being heard. And I'm being seen. And I'm also receiving a signal from another place. Glory to God. And it's telling me that I'm right on target this morning. We need to be yielded vessels. There's some maybe in bed this morning that could be in church that a few years back they would have been in church no matter what. I don't know that that's the case, but there's a big world out there. It probably is the case somewhere. And I wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't true. There's somebody sitting at home today, discouraged over some situation, somewhere. Maybe listening and watching us right now on the internet when you know you should be in church, but you didn't go because something's happened that's got you kind of bothered. And there was a time a few months or a few years ago you wouldn't have let that stop you at all. You'd have been there no matter who did what. Hallelujah. So what's going on? What if all of a sudden somebody you've been concerned about for years needed you to be an example? Somebody you don't know about has been praying, God, help me to find a way. You know what God uses to save lost people? People who are saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, while you're being unfaithful to your church, you're not paying attention to the Word. It's become something that just kind of bores you. You become dull in your hearing. And you're not as excited as you used to be. All of a sudden, an opportunity comes. And you don't see it. Because there's something over your eyes. You don't realize that you're a key. At this moment in time, you could make the difference for a mama or a daddy. Or a lost loved one. Or a neighbor, or a working acquaintance that God planted you next to so that He could use you to save their soul. Hallelujah. And you missed it. How did you miss it? Because somebody didn't shake your hand? Preacher getting too old and too set in his ways. You don't like some of the things he does? Or something's wrong, it's too cold or too hot at church. And it just doesn't feel right anymore when you walk in. What did you go to church for in the first place? Hallelujah. Why do we go to church? Just to be with friends? Or isn't there more involved here than that? Hallelujah. I have packed up and moved many times across the country in the work of God to do something for God. My motives have always been, since I've been living for God and called of God, to serve the Lord, regardless of who else does or does not serve the Lord. There have been blunders on the way, but I've overcome them. You know who's going to go to heaven? Those who have been overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. You know who's not going to make it to heaven? The ones who keep failing. And they're still going through that old circle. God, forgive me. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. And it's like gambling, only you're gambling on eternity. If you're going to be a failure and you're going to be lost and you're always having to repent and try to make it back to God, what if suddenly God says, it's over? And you're in that place where you need to repent. Hallelujah. But don't stop repenting if you need to repent. But look a little further. See where you are. Are you going to live your life for Jesus as a baby? Or are you going to take the food, the Word of God that's being preached, and let it nourish you and strengthen you and grow? Because the whole kingdom of God is a growing kingdom. It's a going forward kingdom. It's a building up kingdom. It's a getting established in the work of faith kingdom. The reason the Word is preached over and over, sometimes it's strong and powerful and maybe goes over your head, is because you're not keeping up. You're staying back there in the baby clothes and the baby talk and the baby understanding. It's time to move on and grow up. Grow up into a holy temple that God can use. Become a tool for the Master's use. It's time to wake up and realize I'm not a baby anymore. I got the Holy Ghost several years ago, and there's no reason for me to act like a beginner today. It's time for me to get in the Word of God and establish my way before God. It's time for me to look up and realize that my redemption is drawing nigh, and there's a harvest field out here, and I've been called to go out into the harvest field and reach for the lost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To whom you yield yourself members to. That's whose servant you'll be. And see, you can yield yourself to God and be His servant, or you can yield yourself to how you feel and be your servant. I preached a message once about, so if your tired body is God, serve it. If your puny feeling is God, serve that. If your working condition is so hard you can't hardly make it to church as your God, then serve that. But if God be God, let's serve God. Regardless of how you feel. Regardless of what they did. Regardless of what's happening on the job. Regardless of how broke you are. Regardless of how you had a hard time. I'm telling you what, if I overslept on Sunday morning and I knew there's 15 minutes of church left, I'd get myself shaved and cleaned up and I'd be on my way to the house of God so I could at least shout and jump up and down and praise God at the end of the service. If for no other reason, just to show God I still love Him with all my heart and I haven't gotten in one of those backslidden modes where I'm going to have to come and recover myself and repent to God that I'm complacent and I'm not what I ought to be. Hallelujah! You don't have to live a backslidden, weak life. That's a matter of choice. And you don't have to keep calling on God saying, God, help me to recover. God's calling on you to recover yourself and call on God for more strength. Oh, He won't stop helping you, but you're not using the help He gives you. I'm talking to somebody. I mean, the Holy Ghost has been poured out upon all flesh. Some receive it. Strength has been poured out upon all flesh. Some use it. Healing has been poured out upon all flesh. Some believe and receive it. Hallelujah. And then there's a calling that comes upon us all. Look upon the fields. They're white already to harvest. Go ye to the lost. And Jesus says, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. We are laborers together with Him, according to one of the writers. Laborers together with Him. You're never out there alone. But you know, it gets to feeling lonely when you wonder why you can't get people to respond to your invitation to church. God didn't call us to come out into this world inviting people to church. He didn't call us to pass out tracts. He didn't call us to get on the internet or radio or television. He just called us to serve Him and be a witness. And you can do that without TV, you can do that without internet, you can do that without a track, and you can do that without a church building. So when somebody blows a horn, you get real mad, and your anger gets so, you have hatred in your heart, and if you could get away with it, you'd kill them on the spot. Because it's a stranger you don't know, of course. I mean, just those strangers, they don't count. We don't know them. But what happens in some of these moments in our lives, it is revealed that we're not what we ought to be. Hallelujah. Some people are more, you might say, conscious of life if it only involves their home, their few, and their family. The few people they're concerned about. But anybody else is an outsider. And they better not interfere with what I've got. Me and my kids, or me and my grandkids, this is us. And everybody else is outside. I'm glad God doesn't feel that way. I'm glad that He wants all those outsiders to be part of His family. The example of Jesus, when He went in the multitude, most of those people were strangers to Him. Hallelujah. Just because they had a need and didn't believe Him and didn't understand Him, He didn't go around giving them some kind of a bird sign. Just because they became angry and confused and bewildered and debated the issue, and some believed not, He didn't get mad and scoff at them. He loved them. Fed them. You know, I could come up with a whole list of rules from now on. This is the way we're going to do it. And it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. Oh, it'd work for some for a while. But then it would fade away. Any preacher can come up with rules. And there are faithful people who will cry to obey the rules. But God has put something in our hearts. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, it's like a seed planted. He's watching for it to grow. He's looking for it to become something more than a seed. He's looking for something that He can look at and say, hey, I put something there and it has multiplied. Amen. So what's happening? Well, I would, but there's this thing going on and there's that happening and I don't feel good. But remember how it was when you wanted God to save your soul? Lord, I'll do anything You want me to do. Remember that prayer? God, oh God, if You just give me the Holy Ghost, I'll do anything You want me to do. I'll be what You want me to be. I'll serve You all my life. And suddenly, you started speaking in tongues. And God took you at your word. So what are you doing today? Anything He wants you to do? No, it's anything you want to do. Regardless of what God says about it, it's what you want to do. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking to the one that heard that. It's what you want to do that counts. Don't matter about church anymore. I listened to an old tape the other day. We had about 85 people in this church one time. They weren't all, you know, what they could be or should be. But they were here. And the Grange Hall where we used to meet, we used to have some pretty big crowds over there. And back when we'd get to go in some of those services, it sounded like a big auditorium on the tapes that I listened to. That's a lot of people. I mean, 85 people for us seems like a lot of folks. Because we're used to not having that many. But I want to tell you, I'm not focusing on how many we don't have. Thank God for those that are here. We do have some established, I believe, established tools that God can use. Now, what I'd like to say to you tools, don't look to those that are not functioning. And don't depend upon those that are not going forward. And don't worry about the empty seats that they don't occupy that they would have if they were consecrated today. And don't worry about how they look and their faces or the snarl that they might have if things don't go just right. Just remember who you are and what you have. When Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." When he said, "If any two of you touch and agree on the same thing, I'm there to supply that need." When he said that, he meant what he said. It doesn't matter about the numbers. If there's one or two of us that's ready to go and grow, God is going to build a church in New England. Hallelujah. I said this to Brother Bobby and Brother Joe several years ago. We were riding down the road together, just the three of us. And I said, as long as any one of you or us is here together, we're going to see this thing through. Because I've got all I need. If I don't have my kids, I've got you. Amen. I don't know about Brother Bobby for sure. I haven't heard from him in a long time. But I know that Brother Joe is still here. And if there's nobody but Brother Joe and myself and God, we're going to see this thing through. Because faithfulness in God is dependent upon God. And God can be depended on. Hallelujah. When He comes back, will He find faith? You better believe He will. There's some of us. And it's not just Brother Joe. It's not just me. But I could call your name and your name and your name. You're here not because you like it. Just get up on Sunday morning and be here. But you're here because you got a reason to be. There's a God that has equipped you and saved you. And you're wanting to please Him. Hallelujah. We all have things to do. And church attendance does get in the way if it's not the right thing. But it is the right thing. Hallelujah. There are a lot of things I would have canceled this morning if it had been something I needed to go to. If we didn't have church today. There are a lot of things I could have needed to do that I would have canceled. Because I was tired. I was up late. I didn't feel good. But there is a reason I got out of that recliner and went in there and took a shower and got myself shaved and got my suit on. And I didn't cancel this. And I didn't hold back on this because I'm serving a God who's never held back on me. Hallelujah. There's a reason why that's in the Bible about we're not of those who draw back. Hallelujah. And there's a reason why the Bible talks about those that put their hand to the plow and looking back are not fit for the kingdom of God. God's looking for something that is fit for the kingdom of God. Somebody that'll hold on no matter how it seems, no matter how hot it gets, no matter how dry it is, no matter who's watching. Sometimes when you're a farmer, you have to plow the field by yourself. But you're always mindful there's a reason why I'm doing this job. It's not just a paycheck. Hallelujah. And you don't do it just any old kind of a way. Because you're looking to the future. There's going to be something happen as a result of what I do. And how I do it. And how I apply myself. And I need to do this job right. And I don't need to, it'd be easy when you're by yourself and nobody's watching just to go sit under a shade tree. And sit there for a few hours every day and not really get anything done. And not feel like getting anything done. Maybe a nice little creek there and just sit there and fish all day. It'd be easy. It's real relaxing to do it that way. But time will tell that you didn't do your job. Amen. Because there are people, there are families, there are things ahead on up the road that are depending on those crops to be there. I'm glad the Word teaches us that we're laborers together. With Him. I'm glad He didn't leave us alone to do this job by ourselves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And see, with Jesus on board, you know, as you yield to Him, those temptations come to hold back. But see, Jesus is there with you. And when you really pray, and committing your life to God and knowing that He's with you, that awareness that He's with you will make you get up when you don't feel like getting up. And make you reach out when you don't feel like reaching out. And give you a song to sing when you don't feel like singing. And cause you to go forward and do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Why? Well, it's the same thing, you know. For instance, if you're working on a job and the head man of the company that you're working for comes to spend a little time with you. Now, before he came, you might have just kind of goofed off. There might have been some things that you were doing that nobody knew about, that were just things that you were able to get away with because you were some kind of a supervisor or some kind of a person that kind of had the ability to control the schedules of the job you're on. But then the head department of the whole company comes, the head man. And he says, I'd like to just spend a little time with you while you work today. I guarantee you, I don't care what your position is, whether you're a boss or just an employee under a boss or whatever it is, when that happens, you'll get your job done a lot more efficiently. Because when the head honcho is there, and you don't feel like getting up, you get up. You don't feel like going and doing what you're supposed to be doing, you'll go do it, and he'll be with you. And if you can't get it all done, he knows what to do because he owns this company. And it's important to him that this job get done. He'll reach over and help you with it. But he really would be happy if he could just stand there with you and observe that you know what you're doing. You're able to get the job done. There are a lot of employers that hire people just because they feel like they can depend on them. When they fill out that application to work, they look at that not always based on how much education they've got, not always based on how much experience they've had, but sometimes the thing that makes a difference is while they were looking at the application, they were always also looking in their eyes and listening to their words and watching their mannerism. And they came to a conclusion, no matter what the paper says, I think I can use this person. There's something here that is telling me that if I will hire this person will do the job. Hallelujah! You can get all the rules you want and write down, I must do this all you want to. Proclamations to yourself. Write it down. I will serve God 1,000 times. just write it down. From now on. This is my resolution. This is the way it's always going to be. I command myself to do this over and over. And just write it. Make yourself write it until you can't write. And when God comes along, He is the head of all things. And He sees that and, oh, that's nice. You know, it'd be great. You can see things on paper that look real good. But what He's going to look at is you and not the paper. Hallelujah. How about your heart? Is it yielded to God? Is it yielded to God? It's only 11:30. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We were in Romans 6th chapter. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Verse 12 before the one that I read. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. In other words, don't let sin be the boss. There's another scripture that says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Hallelujah. I recently heard somebody say because things got real tight and he couldn't pay a bill, I give up. What's the use? Give up on what? God? Hallelujah. I give up. What's the use? Guess who heard that? The boss. Words are easily spoken, but you know what? We need to guard our tongue once in a while. Because the same tongue that prays and testifies and says, I love God with all my heart, within a few hours says, I give up. Same tongue. Same one that says, I'm going to give it all to God, said, I give up. What's the use? You know what that tells me? Some baby needs to grow up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What will God do for a person like that? Show tender mercy, be loving, kind. But when it comes to do the work of God, he's going to go past that one. He's going to find somebody that won't give up when things get tough. Somebody will be holding on. There's some people that backslide when it gets cloudy outside. That's the truth. I know it to be the truth. And the reason I say backslide is because what I see is something that I know that God is seeing. Not having faith anymore because of how they feel. Don't feel good, so I can't worship. Whatsoever not of faith is sin. Something's not feeling right, so I'm not going to praise God. One lady called me a few years ago and she said, I'm not ever coming to that church because they did something to me. I didn't know the lady, and I'd only been pastoring there a short time. I said, are you going to church anywhere? She said, no, and I won't. I'll never go back to any church. And I said, because of something that some people did to you? Right. Some church people, she said. I said, have you ever served God? She said, yep. And I said, did God ever do anything wrong to you? She said, no, but I ain't ever going to go back to church because those people over there. I asked the lady, why are you mad at God? That's the same old spirit that crucified Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, it was in God's plan and order for Jesus to be crucified. But as far as that mob was concerned, they were murdering that man. They were killing him because of things they didn't understand. I mean, yeah, he's doing a lot of good things, but there's something about him we don't understand, so we're going to kill him. So a lady says, that church does stuff that I don't like. So I'm not going back. In other words, I'm not serving God anymore. And if she'd have been standing right there in that mob, no matter how many times she'd been fed, no matter how many times she'd enjoyed the blessings of God and seen the miracles, she would have been out there saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Hallelujah. That's what you're doing when you won't serve him after he's brought you out of sin into his light and blessed your soul, given you water when you were thirsty, bread when you were hungry. And something comes up and you say, well, I just give up. I can't be there anymore. Hallelujah. It's amazing how many people take their vengeance out on God and let sin take charge. Lack of faith. Let not sin, therefore, have dominion or reign in your mortal body. Hallelujah. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. And you think of drinking, smoking, cussing. But how about just leaving all that aside? Don't even think about adultery or lasciviousness or any of those things. Or envies. Or murders or drunkenness. Don't think of any of that. Just think sin. Lack of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't let that reign. Hallelujah. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to that which is not faith. Hallelujah. If you have a hard time getting to church on time, you know what you should do? And if you talk to God, He'll help you to be able to do this. You should get there early next service when it looks like you can't get there on time. Now, I'm not talking to y'all, Brother Bradley. But I'm talking to all of us. But, I mean, you're at church on time and you call and you're out there on that farm in Rhode Island on Sunday morning. And you're at church on time and you call and say, we're trying to get there and our workers are not doing their job or they weren't what they should be. And we're trying. That was at church on time. And so I'm not talking about that. And Sister Carol, I'm not talking to you. But things come up and I understand these things on the job. And I'm talking about these people who, if the alarm clock don't go off on time, they just wake up 15 minutes late and they don't even go to church. And what's happening at church anyhow? That's just another old sermon. That's in their thoughts. I know what church is going to be. Same old songs we're going to sing. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. You know what we sing. We sing them over and over. Same old soundtracks. Same old cameras. Same old pal talk. People watching us and listening to us. So I'm just going to roll over and sleep through it and I'll go tonight. And you know what's going to happen this afternoon? I'm going to forgive them. God's going to forgive them. And when they get here tonight, they're going to still be babies that can't walk. They can't walk the walk, can't talk the talk. So what are we going to do? Bear with them. But what we don't want to do is become unfaithful. They've already revealed themselves. They can't be depended on, can't be counted on. I can't use them. God can't use them. They're not tools that are fit for the Master's use. They're not fit for the kingdom of God. But they're here. Let them keep repenting. But let's move on. Let's start praying a prayer of praise and victory and overcoming power and faith and letting faith reign in our mortal bodies. And I don't feel like doing some things, but I'm going to do them anyhow. And sometimes I feel like holding back. That means I'm going to run forward. Sometimes I don't feel like getting to church on time. That means I'm going to break all my rules that I ordinarily go by. And I'm going to cancel some things. And I'm going to make a special effort. I'm going to be at church because it's the flesh and it's sin. And it's that which is not of faith that's trying to hold me back. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to yield to that. Hallelujah. I was at a stop sign in Jewett City. Actually, a yield sign. You know, a yield right-of-way sign, you can keep going without stopping, and even if there's a policeman watching, he won't do anything about that. There's nothing wrong. If you pull out onto the street where it says yield right of way, now if there's a stop sign there, that's a different story. You should stop. But if it says yield right of way, and you're in a hurry, and you just take off and you just go right past that sign and just keep moving on, nobody's going to do anything about that. It's not against the law to go through a yield right of way sign. But there's some things that can happen that will cause you to realize why the sign needed to be there. Now, 3 o'clock in the morning, I was driving through Jewett City, or Griswold, somewhere over in one of those country roads. And I came up on this sign that said, yield. Well, you would think at 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody else would be on the highway. But it doesn't matter what we think. We need to pay attention to the signs. And we need to pay attention to the Word. And I started to just go on. But I'm glad I decided just to take a look to see if there might be somebody on the road. And just as I started to go on, when I looked, there was an 18-wheeler. And if I had touched that accelerator and moved just a few inches forward, I would not be here tonight. There was a reason why that yield sign needed to be there. There is a reason why this scripture is so important that we pay attention to it. Yield not. Don't yield your members to sin or unfaithfulness, but yield unto God. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. And if you're just moving forward and just kind of drifting along, nobody's going to stop you and slap you around and lock you up in jail. I mean, we're going to be patient. We're going to be kind. We're going to be Christians. But sooner or later, when your family falls apart, when you lose that job, when you can't make it, there's utter chaos and confusion in your life, and there seems to be no victory, and you just feel like giving up, it could be a good time for you to wake yourself up and realize you're just about to get destroyed by something greater than an 18-wheeler coming at you. You need to yield to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise God. You know, God pays attention when we testify. If I were not going to do what I say I'll do in my testimony, I would not give that testimony. Hallelujah. Because it becomes a lie. Your very testimony becomes a lie. That very thing that we're trying to accomplish and encourage others. Because just as God is watching, we're all watching. You can count on me, I'll be here. Hallelujah. If you ever say that, then be here and be counted on. If you're not going to be here and be counted on, don't say it. It's easier to be saved if you don't lie than it is if you do lie. Hallelujah. It's easier to have favor with God if you tell the truth. Thank you, Jesus. That's why God had the wisdom to say, when you make these plans and you say things, say, if the Lord will. We can easily boast on what we'll do, what we plan to do. But we need to make all of our boasting be in the Lord, according to His will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get around the front, if you will. If you can't tell, this is deep on my heart today. Has been for quite a while. Several years, in fact. And I hope you're receiving the message as encouragement. Regardless of how it seems, regardless of how it seems that we lack sometimes, you're the one that's being counted on and not them. Them being the ones who are not faithful. Them being the ones who fall away when things get rough. Them being the ones who abandon ship when the master is still on board. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you can be counted on, then sooner or later, maybe they can be counted on. Praise God. They could be hundreds that have passed through this place. Hundreds. Did you know I have baptized close to 300 people in Norwich, Connecticut? I have baptized near 300 people in Jesus' name in Norwich, Connecticut. Hallelujah. And if 275 of them were the ones that we would pattern our lives after, none of you would be here today. But the fact that 25 of you stuck with it means that you're going to be saved. And if we baptize 500 more and they go away too, will you also go away? Huh. There are millions more out there that need to be baptized. Why don't we just go get them? Hallelujah. I was listening to Sister Jennifer talk about her mom this morning. All these years of not serving God, but see, a seed was planted years ago. Amen. It's five of me if she gets her heart right with God in Florida. It's five of me if she becomes faithful to a church and has a testimony of victory. in some other state, some other church. This isn't just our church, but I want to tell you what. Somewhere long before I got here, God touched her life. And God hasn't forgot about what He put there. She might have struggled and yielded and went the wrong way for all these years not serving God. But all of a sudden, now she wakes up and maybe she's going to serve God. If she does, praise God. What little bit that was done years ago counted. Hallelujah. And if those that are not, we can't depend on it. They're not going to serve God like we want them to. Yet the word is still going forth, and when they're here, it's still being preached and testifies still. They need to see those who do want to serve Him, serving Him. Hallelujah. Oh, and I believe it's happening. I believe there are hands clapping right now. They're clapping because of victory. There are words of praise about to be spoken because there is a God who has saved us. That we do praise. Hallelujah. And we live for and we walk with day by day. Let's worship Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I love You. I lift up Your name. Blessed be Your holy name. Blessed be Your holy name. Praise God. I've seen a lot of people who jump and run and dance and really put on a real demonstration of how much joy they have. Fall away so easy. But you know what? Jumping and dancing and running is in order. But it should be the result of the joy and not just a show. Hallelujah. What makes you shout and dance before God should be God getting you stirred up in the Holy Ghost. What makes those hands want to wave and those tears come forth and that joy that you feel, praise God, that's causing those hands to swing, cause you to jump up in the middle of the sermon and clap your hands to the Lord and raise your hands and praise God. That's something that's coming in response to God. I watched a few days ago a pastor of a church who inherited this big church because his daddy died. He's a very sissy type person. Has a little wrist that's loose and a high voice. He sounds like a woman when he talks and walks like a woman when he walks. And all that in itself is nothing for me to pay a lot of attention to because everybody's different. But what I did observe was this. There was no sincerity in his walk with God. It's like he knows the motions that his daddy had. And he tries to do those motions, but it's not there. It's not coming from the heart. He knows the right words to say to conduct a service. But the thing that makes you know that the service is being conducted by a man who's in tune with God and working from his heart, it was missing. And you don't have to be one who judges others to see this. It was just an observance of easily witnessed what was going on. And I've seen him before, and I've got video. If you want to see it, I can show it to you. Where when the singing's going on, people worship me. He's got that certain trying to make it happen, look the preacher part, look, but it's not there. The motions are there, but it's not there. The words that he speaks, And trying to get people, come on now, come on everybody, come on. The right words that are used many times by preachers when God is using them to do the work. But when He says them, it's not there. I think I'll get that together and just play it to you and show you what I'm talking about sometime. You can tell when it's there and when it's not there. And there's this whole charismatic movement that seems to have this attitude. Let's shout till we feel like shouting. Let's dance until we feel like dancing. Let's praise till we feel like praising. Forget about till you feel like anything. Just do it. Hallelujah. If you don't feel like praising God after He saved your soul, don't praise Him till you feel like praising Him. Repent of your sin. If you don't feel like dancing before the Lord, after all He's done for you, delivered you out of sin, you don't have any business dancing till you feel like dancing. Get down on your face and pray through. Then you'll have a reason to dance. Hallelujah. Thank Him again with me right now. Lord, we worship You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm determined to do all I can, and I want to do all I can, and I make these commitments to God, and most of them are made in private. But if you don't understand some of the things that I do, maybe you should look to God for yourself and see if you can find some things that others won't understand too. Because God is not necessarily wanting us to explain everything to each other. Let's just work to God. Direct our efforts to God, and let's be a witness for God in this world unto Him, and let's watch this harvest grow. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here.